really the Longhorns or not. It's RBKD. Today on the show, we eat rice. We give some previews and keys to the game tomorrow for Texas and Rice. Also, get into the NFL weekend games, Cowboys, Chargers. We're going to talk Texans and Browns as well. And are the Colts really going to make my dreams come true? He came from DB High, went to DBU, ended up in Detroit somehow. Now he's in San Marcos. He's in more private clubs than a swinger. He's as open-minded as anyone, yet does discriminate against white foods. He's a football theorist. He is an All-American. He is the one and only Rod Babers.
And my co-host, he's a lifetime Longhorn, but first a lifetime Austinite. A conservative liberal who doesn't discriminate, which is why his dating history looks a lot like a commercial for the Rainbow Coalition. He was a reality TV star before it ever was a thing. And yeah, he's only got one ball, but still more testicular fortitude than your whole team. He's my man, my co-host, Kevin Dunn. What's going on, brother?
Doing well, man. Good trip out here.
Yeah.
Using the brake pads, for sure.
No, it was good. It's a good trip. I haven't been to San Marcos in a while. And I had my first time here at Craft House, so it's nice. I like it.
Very nice.
Yeah, very nice.
Last time would have been total men's, probably.
If I said, I guess so. I don't know. I don't remember last time I've been to San Marcos. Did we do it? We did a total men's in San Marcos?
Yep.
Really?
Wow.
Man.
Flushed it.
Yeah.
Don't well
even
done.
Remember it. Yeah. You really don't.
Yeah, we are at Draft House. Draft House is pretty cool. It's Craft House Kitchen and Tap. And it's a Nelson Shopping Center. So 242 North LBJ Drive. Place has already got people here. This is a pretty cool area. I haven't been to this part of San Marcos in a long time. I've done some games here. We did Total Men's right off 35, but this is kind of their little college area, and lots of bars and restaurants. We've looked at the menu. This place looks great.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. I'll get some of the food later on. My man Jeff Howe is going to come by later on. I'm sure Jeff Howe might have already been here. I mean, he lives in San Marcos now.
Probably, yeah.
Just recently moved a couple of months ago, so he'll give us a lay of the land a little bit here in San Marcos. But it looks great. So thanks to the folks here at Craft House for having us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, Craft House, get on out here, Kitchen and Tap Nelson. It's Nelson Shopping Center, and this place is really cool. Find some parking, come on in, say hi. We already have a lot of people here, and hopefully some fans from out south will come on out. All right, we've got the Texas Rice game to look at. We'll get back to last night because that actually gave us a game we didn't think we were going to get between the Giants and the Washington football team.
Mm.
Another treat on Thursday night. They're 2-for-2. We've got a good Monday night game, but hopefully not a good Saturday night game as Texas takes on Rice. They lead the series 73-21-1. I will give Rice a shout-out, went through their game notes like I always do. And some teams won't put the overall series record if it's embarrassing. Rice had it right there.
Yeah,
you're Rice, man.
Know your role.
Yeah.
Know your lane.
Put your Forbes list right
know
after
your
that.
Lane.
And,
know your lane.
And we know that you're Rice. And so give them some love for that. But, Rod, this is a game that, you know, traditionally Texas dominates. They won 28 in a row from 66 to 93. We talked about the 94 game. That was the last time Rice beat Texas in non-conference. They've blown them out. You've been a part of some of those blowouts. Is this going to be a blowout?
I believe the line is 20. Is
it's
it 22? It's 22 or 23? Something like this. I believe it started at 26.
No,
went to
so
24.
We were off on that. We were backwards. Started at like 23, 24, and now it's going up to 25, 26.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Well, it's expected to be a blowout. The question will be, can the offense operate in an effective enough manner to be able to blow out a team like Rice? And the blowout against U of H is a little bit deceiving because that game is a 17-10 game middle of the third quarter.
Yep.
And even the Arkansas win, I think that game is tied 17-17, 17-all in the fourth quarter. So a little deceiving. Rice is competitive. They do have a upgrade in the coaching staff. We'll talk about that. Which, by the way, because Blomgren, their head coach, was from the Pac-12, a Stanford O-line coach, a lot of familiarity with Sark, a lot of familiarity with PK.
Yep.
He knows both of those guys and their concepts really, really well. So, you know, maybe that's an advantage for him.
And they know him, too.
And they know him, too. But we'll see who that's an advantage for.
Right.
So I think in this matchup, though, and we'll get to some of the sound from Sark, and one of the pieces of sound is a little bit troubling, honestly, to hear from Sark. But we'll get to that. But I think I want to see Casey operate from the pocket. And he shouldn't have to operate off schedule a lot against Rice. If he does, that's also going to be concerning. I know he can do it. We saw him rush seven times, Sark admitted. Only one of those was a called one run play against Arkansas. So he's going to scramble when he needs to. The key for me is he shouldn't have to scramble a lot against Rice.
Right.
Because Texas should be able to control the line of scrimmage. If they cannot control the line of scrimmage against Rice and protect the quarterback against Rice, give him time to throw, that's going to be a big concern for Longhorn fans. So both lines of scrimmage, you should be able to not dominate, control. I'm not going to say dominate. I don't know if this group can dominate anybody.
Probably not.
I don't know if they are.
But they shouldn't get beat.
They should be able to control, you know, the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. That's going to be big for me.
And also protect. We talked about the lack of 20-yard throws they've had.
They've only completed one.
Completions. One Xavier
attempt.
Worthy double move against Louisiana. So protect. There should not be many off-schedule plays. I think Casey Thompson is going to be advantageous to Texas when they get into a majority of the games where the offensive line doesn't do their job. But I would think that there should be pretty on schedule in this game.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Protect, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, we know that the reason that Casey Thompson should get the start, why he is getting the start, because this offense and Sark start later than everybody else, because I was saying in an offseason, the biggest determining factor in the quarterback competition is not going to necessarily be the skill level of the quarterback. It's going to be how many plays do you anticipate having to operate off schedule? Is it 30%? Is it 50%? And Sark didn't see that.
Casey.
Exactly.
When we were
asked. Well, you're saying, Sark didn't.
Yeah.
Sark thought they were going to operate, you know, on schedule. He got slapped in the face really early. I'm glad he came to that realization before Big 12 play. And now Casey is in there. And Hudson Card, you know, there's some criticism about him being able to see targets downfield, miss some of that. But even when Sark, and we'll get to the sound, even when Sark was asked about it, Chip Brown brought up, hey, do you think it was more the O-line or do you think it was the quarterback play when you went back and watched the All-22? Was one affecting the other? And, you know, Sark, you know, basically kind of frowned upon it, basically talked about how the offensive line, as, you know, kind of where things start up front, made things a little tough for Hudson Card. Why he vacated the pocket so much was because of the pressure and because Texas couldn't pass protect. So I think for Sark, and you know what, this is a perfect chance to get into the cut number seven. Hey, John, get cut number seven ready, I believe it is. Because Sark is asked about the quarterback run game, whether he believes, hey, man, you got Casey Thompson there. Are you going to, you know, now change things up a little bit and maybe add concepts for the quarterback run game? Here is what Sark had to say about Casey operating that capacity.
Not really. We actually only called one play where he potentially could have pulled it and ran, and he did. The rest of those were off schedule, him tucking the ball down and running. Those weren't designed runs. So that's his style of play. So I think some of that is going to be based off of the way a play goes or the game goes if he tucks it and runs a little bit more. But you know, our offensive scheme really is going to change as much. You know, we have that in our system. We definitely don't major in it. So it really wasn't much of a difference, when we call runs for the quarterback.
So I gave that quote the very end of it. We don't major in it, right? And I said, but you better minor in it at some point. Because that's going to be the situation. If you didn't take much brain power to look at the offensive line and the returning people and say, hey, Kyle Flood could do a great job with them in 5 months, but the ceiling is the ceiling, and that's going to be pass blocking, run blocking, and boy, it's tough to scheme around that.
Yeah, I'm with you, right? In the future, in terms of Kyle Flood developing these guys, you can make long-term projections, but right now you have to win games. So I hope Sark is, because I agree with Sark, don't change your system. No. But hopefully he adds some of the concepts or pulls out the old Jake Locker, you know, playbook from back in the day and brings up some of the zone read concepts for Casey Thompson. And not saying he's got to use it a lot. Not saying it needs to be over a gratuitous amount of them. But it definitely should, because I think that plus one in the running game as a threat will force defenses to account for it. Then that'll open up other things, especially in your play action game, your RPO game. I think it'll open up a ton. And his scrambling, his natural scrambling ability, same thing Sam Ellinger, who scrambled more than any other quarterback in college football in this time, it'll open up the middle of the field because they'll have to devote a spy on him. Casey's just too good of a scrambler. They'll have to put a spy on him. And when they do, there's you got numbers games that you can win now on the outside in the passing game. So his abilities are going to open up a lot of things. And Sark is supposed to be a guy that will tailor the play calling to the strengths of his QBs. That's what we got to hope he does. And him not adding more QB run game, you know, doesn't necessarily give me a lot of trust that he will tailor the offense to Casey Thompson's skill set. Because quarterback run game is easy with that guy, no doubt.
Should be.
I mean, we know it's there because Hudson Card scored on a quarterback keeper, zone keeper.
Scramble. Yeah, no, on that
remember?
One. He scored on one
of those.
But they were also biting on Bijan because they couldn't stop him. And so you better be able to to stop him.
That's going to open
that. That's going to open it up.
You know it's going to open it up because you got to bite on the Bijan fake.
Right.
If you're smart, and then boom, that's going to open up things for that quarterback. So. I expect you don't need that against Rice. I'm not saying break that out against Rice. We're talking about Rice. But against, Texas Tech the week after that, I expect to see some of that quarterback run game. Against Rice, I do want to see Casey operate from the pocket. Downfield passing game. They've only completed 10 passes past 10 yards all season long. That's got to change. And specifically to the receivers on the outside, because I got to go back and track it. I mean, I don't know if those guys together have caught more than 10 balls. Combined receivers on the outside, all of them. I don't know if they have.
I don't think they have. We talked about it yesterday, and I mean,
I'm not
we
sure,
talked
maybe.
About Worthy Moore had three in the first game, but yeah, no, those guys, the outside, especially against man coverage and smaller DBs, they should be able to pick on them. There should be enough time. All that stuff should be on schedule. It's not going to be a great simulator for what Texas is going to face probably a majority of the time the rest of the year. It'll probably be a mirror image what they get against Kansas. Or that type of talent. But they play a lot of man. I've talked about the DC who's been there since his whole staff has been there. And he goes back to Michigan, some pro stuff, but it's a lot of man coverage. And that's what Don Brown did. And Texas should be able to kill that.
They should. But I do know that Rice is going to mix things up. But Sark talked about that, that Rice is multiple offensively and defensively. They're going to change up their fronts. It'll be a nice test for the offensive line for Texas. They won't overpower Texas like Arkansas. They can't do that. But what they can do is try to manipulate fronts and force the offensive line, which they struggle with a lot of things, but force them to communicate on the fly real time, make adjustments real time. That's why the twists and the stunts give them a lot of problems, because that is essentially that concept forces them to adjust on the fly, and they don't do that very well. So I expect Rice to challenge them with that. And I expect on the other side, I think Rice is going to, offensively, they're going to throw a lot of things at Texas, but the whole goal is so they can run the ball. They want to run the ball. He's an old O-line coach. He wants to run the ball.
We're two games in, and Texas has not been good. In terms of the yardage with third down. Now, they were good on third and long against Louisiana. Arkansas, 4 of 13, not good on third down in general. They've had third and long way too much in both games. And Rice has been awful on third down. I mean, if teams are getting off, the two teams are getting off 46% of the time. You're converting.
Yeah.
So they're not getting off the field. So I would think that this is something where Texas should be in third and short and should be able to kind of play both angles, where it felt like they weren't exactly they were in situations the last couple games where third down they had to throw.
Yeah, you don't want to be in that situation. It means, that the game is being dictated for you, right?
Right.
You want to be able to dictate the tempo, dictate the terms, and Texas wasn't able to do that against Arkansas, of course. But even against Louisiana, as we pointed out, those third and really long situations.
You can't live like that.
Exactly. Living on the edge.
It is.
That's walking the line. And Texas paid for it versus Arkansas. So I think, honestly, you'll get to the point where if you're Texas in this game, if the running game is working for you and you're still able to get those chunk yardage plays, stay ahead of the chains, that's where you want to be. They shouldn't be. If they're in third and long and there's a lot of scramble situations for Casey Thompson,
That's not good.
Even if
they
convert him.
Exactly. Long term, not good.
Finishing sentences here. I don't know.
It.
We're just
same cycle. I'm telling you, same cycle.
A little synchronization going on here. Hey, John, would you have the cut number 6 ready, please? Because here's a question. I believe it came from Kirk Bowles, if I'm not mistaken. And it's a good question.
Yeah.
But I think specifically people are trying to see if Sark is going to hint at putting in more, giving himself more options on the offensive line. right? The offensive line, that is the biggest Achilles heel of this team. That's the biggest weakness. And I do believe, you know, that a personnel change could help it. I don't know if that's for sure, but I believe it could help it. And Andre Carrick is probably the best option. But here's Sark when he was asked about, have any of the backups earned more playing time after a disastrous performance versus Arkansas?
Well, you know, I think when you look at the wideout position, you know, obviously we tried to get those guys in there a little bit more last week with Marcus Washington and Cavante Dixon. And obviously Dixon made a couple nice plays. But as I've impressed upon him this week as well, it's, you know, to earn the playing time, you have to earn not just what you do on game day, you earn it throughout the week in the way you practice, the way you prepare. So hopefully that resonates, and I think they've had a good week of work. So that's just kind of one example on that front where hopefully we can get a few more guys going.
So when he was asked about backups, he went immediately to the wide receivers about backups, and he didn't go to the offensive line.
No.
And he's been asked about it several times. As a matter of fact, he is asked about it. I believe it's from my man Joe Cook asked the question. This is cut number two, John. Please have it ready for us. But he's asked about, you know, the offensive line problems and if, you know, he thinks that there should be a changes or if you believe that, you know, it's a technique issue and it just needs to be more reps. Here's what Sark had to say regarding his, you know, his thoughts on the offensive line.
I don't agree with that at all. I think that when you drop eight people in coverage, you're going to have to hold the ball a little bit, and because you got to find windows. They're taking away some windows. And to do that, you know, when you have five people to block three, we've got to hold up to allow that time to and plays to develop. And that wasn't the whole night, you know, but, you know, I thought we missed a couple opportunities. I did think Hudson could have probably sat in the pocket a little bit more, but he did decide to flush a little bit. But even when he flushed, he was able to create some plays down the field, an early one to Worthy. He had a ball off the fingertips of Jordan Whittington for a touchdown there. So, you know, I think it everything works together. And if you're only going to rush three, you should have more time. If you're going to rush four, five, six people, you're probably going to have less time, but there should be more windows and have the ability to get the ball out a little quicker.
That was a different cut than I thought it was, so that's on me. But I will say that that is the very interesting question, because the question initially was, which do you believe caused the most problems on the offense? I'm paraphrasing.
Right. Quarterback, O-line.
Quarterback or the O-line. Was the quarterback play, was he indecisive, or was the offensive line just so inept that it didn't allow for any efficient quarterback play? And you just heard Sark's answer. He basically said, he didn't think that it was all on the O-line. You know, he didn't think.
Oh, there was happy feet there?
He didn't think it was all on the line or all on the quarterback. I think he kind of hinted that it was a little bit of both.
Right. Right? And probably receivers, too, in there, to some degree.
I mean, he said his quarterback, you know, flushed the pocket a lot, and I think he hinted that he probably flushed the pocket a lot more than he would have liked. But there's no question that the offensive line, of course, made things really tough. And we don't know how Casey would have operated with the game, you know, a little bit closer, a little bit more competitive early on. But later on in the game, when the defense softened up a little bit, of course, he looked like a much more effective quarterback. There's no question.
Great place to watch the game if you're not going to be going there would be Pluckers. Pluckers, seven Austin area locations, fantastic spot, the best wings in town, and also the best sports bar in town. So you add those two together, and you get Pluckers. All you got to do is get to Pluckers.com to find a location near you. Watch any of the games, whether that's Saturday or Sunday. Obviously, Cowboys on Sunday taking on the Chargers. We'll get into that a little bit. But Pluckers is the spot to go. You can get delivery through DoorDash, or you can just get to Pluckers.com to place that online order. And also, if you're tired of waiting in line, the only probably criticism you get with Pluckers, Pluckers Club app is a great way to save some time, virtually save your place in line, and that way you show up, you eat wings, you watch the game, and you're not waiting in line. We're doing Beat the Pluck coming up later on at 5 o'clock with Dave Paul, so we have all the college games we're going to be previewing. Get to hornfm.com to sign up for Beat the Pluck. It's Pluckers. If you don't like our wings, we will give you the bird. What else are you kind of marinating on?
Man, it's, you know, there are a lot of different layers I guess you could hit if you're a fan. I think You know, ultimately, I just want to see the confidence level of the team after the Arkansas game.
Yep.
That's why I want to see how they come out, right? Do they come out confident? Do they come out, do they have a fast start? What's the energy level? Especially if they don't score on the first drive, because I think that's going to be important. First drive defensively and offensively for Texas, I think the fast start is going to be key because, you know, there's still got to be some insecurity about that performance. And if you come out and then start slow again after a disastrous performance like that with a team that honestly played Arkansas better than you did, and they're going to – I guarantee you that's what they're echoing throughout the locker room.
Yep.
Man, we played them better than we were more competitive against Arkansas than they were. All right, and we could have beat Arkansas if not for the three picks in the game or something. So I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying that that's what they believe. All right, so you got to deal with, you got to kill that belief. You got to crash their hopes and dreams. You got to crush it, and you got to do that early. If you don't, they're gonna believe they can stay in the game with Texas, and I don't think they can. But if you're not playing your best football, they might, and that would be, in my opinion, bad news for Sark and the team. If Rice can stay with you for four quarters, you can win the game. But even if they stay with you for four quarters, I think we all agree that's a problem.
Luke McCaffrey probably going to be the starter. We don't know. They've had two quarterbacks that have been playing, each have three picks. Wiley Green from Fayetteville, Arkansas. He's a fourth-year guy. Neither have been really impressive, but both those guys. I think McCaffrey's the more talented one with the higher ceiling. But really, they're going to try and spread you out, run the football. I want to see both lines. You talk about the offensive line, but certainly the defensive line. In two games, they got blown out in the second one. The first one, they just kind of stood pat and were dancing bears, to quote Bucky there.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one they should be able to dominate. You got five returning linemen for Rice, but this is kind of where you get back to, Rod, this is more about us than them.
Yeah. I mean, it's, schematically, it shouldn't really matter. You should be able to push Rice around. That's what you're hoping. You can reset the line of scrimmage. We haven't seen that from the D-line yet, even though in the Louisiana game it wasn't exposed. It was exposed in the Arkansas game where Arkansas had 97 of their 333 yards before contact.
Yeah.
Before anybody even touched them or sneezed on a guy.
That's on the line.
That's right. So that's close to a third of their yardage, and that was because they were pushing Texas defensive linemen back, which made life almost impossible on the linebackers because they would have to sift through all the trash with defensive linemen in their face butts of defensive linemen in their face because they're getting pushed back. And then also offensive linemen who are getting to the second level. That's a lot to ask from your linebackers to try to get through all that and then go make a play. And that's why you had 20-plus missed tackles, because you had guys out of position a lot. So fundamental football starts right at the point of attack. The defensive line can't get pushed back. As a matter of fact, it'd be nice if they get a push themselves. If they can reset the line of scrimmage, then allow the linebackers to penetrate, disrupt.
You kind of set the bar at the floor anytime you play Rice, just in terms of personnel. So they've had some well-coached teams, obviously, have come in here and really given Texas some games in my lifetime. But yeah, there should be a pushback. Their pass rush has not been good on film looking at it. I mean, they've been in these games, Rod, not because they're getting a lot of pressure.
Yeah. They've been – it's just kind of overall all three phases, kind of a game management philosophy. They want to control the game. And the purpose of the running game, yes, it is to they do want to score offensively. That's their identity. But it also is to control the game. They want to shorten the game a little bit. They don't want to give you a lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
They shorten the game up. And the defense is not – what's the word I'm looking for? The defense to me is not a weakness of the team. I don't know if they're – I'm not going to say they're a strength, but the Rice defense used to be a weakness. It is not a weakness anymore. That defense actually – it's a pretty
They're actually pretty good on first and second down.
It's a fundamentally
third
sound
defense. Third down, they're
awful. Exactly. It's not talented,
right,
but it's a fundamentally sound defense. And it's a good defense to test Texas.
Their special teams have been bad too. So Texas comes in. You have a team that was in actually both games. It's easy to look at the 44-7 Houston game, the final score, but then watch the game, and they were actually in that. So
interceptions at the end.
Right. If Texas feels like they've got this thing won at halftime, you've actually done something that Arkansas and Houston have not done.
Totally agree. I'm with you 100%. That's what I'm saying. It's one of those games where I think Texas should control the game the entire time, right? Remember the whole Louisiana thing?
Right.
You control the game entire time. There shouldn't be a threat. We shouldn't be threatened. Longhorn fans shouldn't be sweating or stressed in that game versus Rice. If they are, then, yeah, that might be a problem. Third and long, you're stressed out. Quarterback scrambling for his life stresses you out. You shouldn't be stressed. You should be like, oh, man, nice. You should be on schedule. Boom.
Jeff Howe is in-house, and we are at Craft House Kitchen and Tap. It's the Nelson Shopping Center, 242 North LBJ Drive. And this place is really cool, so I'm excited to try the ahi tuna, Rod. You going to go in or not? Is that too rare for you? Because I've seen the picture.
I can't do that. That's too exotic for me. I'm going to go with something a little more basic. I know they got the wings. I'm going to get
nachos
on some of the
look good, too.
Nacho. They got the queso.
Yep.
I'm down
queso
with that.
Blanco.
Yeah, you're a foodie, so you want to get
it
off.
It looks good, man. I'm all into
fly
it.
Fly and exotic. No, I'm okay.
Trying to figure it out.
It's great.
We'll talk more Texas Rice. Do it with Jeff Howe. Jeff Howe's going to join us. We will get to the NFL as well, including up next NFL weekend games that we're pumped about. We're going to preview some of those, including Cowboys Chargers.
I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, because the country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Welcome back to RBKD. We are looking live. You can come out here and join us. We are actually been joined by my man Jeff Howe, who is a resident now of San Marcos.
A resident once again.
Have you ever been to Craft House? Is this your first time here?
No, I've actually been here before.
Oh, okay, nice. Well, then tell us what to order.
I don't remember when this place opened, but my wife and I came here right after it opened.
Nice.
So it's been a minute. You guys know I've slept since then. But no, food here is great. And I'll tell you what. Since I went to school here, this was one of the first kind of newer places that popped up right after I graduated.
Yeah.
Since I've been to school here, like all this
when did this area kind of start?
Probably within the last 10 years or so.
Yeah, because I don't remember it.
And you still got, like, across the street, there's new construction popping up. So, like, you come back here, and I'm like, damn, why couldn't it have been this nice when I was going to school
Yeah,
here?
Really.
Yeah.
But I took pictures, actually, for my sister who graduated in 91, and she hit me back. She was like, you got to be kidding
me. What the hell is that?
Where was that?
we're right off the square here in San Marcos. And I mean, if you guys want debauchery stories from my days roaming over there.
Hopefully.
I got plenty of them.
I like that.
Well, you know what's good about that, though, Rod? My wife knows most of those stories, so I'm not sharing anything with the general public.
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't already know.
Oh, no, no question. Yeah. Had to reveal all those secrets when you put the ring on it, man. No doubt.
Exactly.
My man Jeff Howe is joining us. We're here. You can come out here and join us at the Craft House Kitchen and Tap. It is basically 242's at LBJ Drive.
LBJ, yep.
LBJ Drive. If you know the area, you know the area. But Craft House Kitchen and Tap, fantastic place. We're going to order some food. My man Jeff's already been here. Says the food is great. It looks great.
You tell people that know San Marcos, we're on the square side of LBJ.
There you go. See, this is kind of stuff I need to know. This is kind of inside.
Right off the square.
This is kind of inside intel I need to know from the San Marcos resident. They said, once again, man, you like it here. You like it here.
I love it here, man.
Yeah,
I moved to Buda for a couple years, but, man, I love San Marcos. You know, it's like I tell people, Rod, they're like, why'd you end up going to Texas State? I was like, I just kind of showed up in San Marcos one day and never left. just liked it so much, I just stayed here. So that's how a lot of stuff happens in this town.
No doubt. Well, you're a Cowboys fan, are you not?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, Cowboys got a big game this weekend versus the Chargers. And here's some more.
You got a couple down and distances left in you as an edge rusher, Rod, maybe?
Man, I was never my forte.
Well, maybe that nickel blitz.
Nah, well, there you go.
You'd be better than whatever I think the Cowboys are going to run out there on Sunday.
Even right now?
It's so bad. When your defensive line coach has to get carted off the practice field, you know it's been a rough week.
So, Jeff, you were an offensive lineman. He was on the sled, which is even – it's not even – because Rob is asking, all right, was he showing them a drill and actually hitting the sled? No, he was on the sled.
Yeah, and see, that's one of those deals where – so, typically, O-line coaches like to ride the sled.
Right.
And as an offensive lineman, that's your goal. Can you tip the seven-man sled?
Always.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. See,
I heard him. I told you that yesterday.
That's actually a good sign, though. Mm-hmm. They were to not coach off the sled. That means the defensive linemen are being physical. They're ready to go.
That's true. Yes.
And this is a prime example of why people don't really do the seven-man sled anymore.
Well, bad news for the Cowboys. It's on the offensive line, actually. Ty Nesecki, one of their backup tackles, he had to go to the hospital for heat-related symptoms after practice. So in addition to Lyle Collins being suspended for 5 games because he missed 7 drug tests. I know, that's funny. But Zach Martin is back. That is good news. But Ty Nesecki, in case they need him, because Terrence Steele, who was an undrafted free agent from, last year, actually, he is going to start in the place of Lyle Collins, and he's got his hands full because he'll be going up against one of them Bosas, Joey Bosa.
Yeah. One of the big Boses.
I'm sure they'll put Bosa over him as much as they can.
Right.
And if you're the Cowboys, I don't know, put a tight end over there to chip him or something.
It's I know Zach Martin did not want to kick outside. And I don't blame him because the one time they asked him to kick outside, he shredded his knee and missed a lot of time. So, but
it's best for the team, though, Jeff.
Their best line combination, I really think, would be Zach Martin kicking out to tackle. And honestly, I didn't, other than the times where they just could not block Vita Vea. And I think as we watch the Bucs this year, you'll realize there's going to be a lot of interior linemen in this league that can't block Vita Vea.
He's a monster.
But other than that, I thought Connor McGovern played pretty well. Biotis wasn't great, but
Connor Williams graded out well.
Yeah, and Connor Williams, I thought, played okay. So their interior line-wise, I think they're okay. If you kick Zach Martin out to tackle, maybe you've got something now. But or, heck, kick McGovern out to tackle. And, I mean, that's why you drafted him initially, was to, because he can play all these different positions. But I don't know, man. It's I don't like that matchup anyway. I probably wouldn't have liked it if Lyle Collins was out there anyway. But now that you're down to – Terrence Steele? It's going to be Terrence Steele.
It's going to be Terrence Steele's the starter, and then I guess one of the backups is Ty Nesecki.
Then go with God, I guess.
Not a prayer.
God.
Not a prayer. Joey Bosa has the best BGO, ball get off, in the NFL. It takes him 0.51 seconds to cross the line of scrimmage. That's the fastest in the NFL. Second is 0.65 seconds. For week one, he's one of two players since 2016 to generate a pressure rate above 13% in every season with at least 150 rushes, pass rushes. Aaron Donald is the other guy, by the way. And he had an 18% pressure rate in the first game, 17% in all of 2020.
He's going to eat
whoever's over there alive.
Yeah.
I mean, he is going to feast on them. So, whatever, Dak. You know, they're saying that right now Zeke might be an option just to try to suppress that pass rush and insulate Dak a little bit, not even to try to really get yardage, just to try to be able to keep them honest so they don't just pin their ears back and go after Dak in a 50-plus pass attempt game.
No doubt. I mean, that's why you run him. So I don't like the deal. Probably all three of us don't like the deal long-term where you're at in the NFL. But I'll say this. Last week is not indicative of that deal at all. That was actually, as I came in on Monday, Rod, and said, I know you don't like moral victories, but as a Cowboys fan, Jeff, you're looking at it and saying, hey, Kellen Moore is on point in terms of looking at game to game, scheme to scheme, what we're going to do with concepts, and saying, he threw that out on Tuesday, the run.
I was feeling good.
Which he should have.
Waking up Friday morning, I was feeling good as a Cowboys fan, and then all hell broke loose. Shortly after that, with the COVID list and injuries and everything else that this franchise is dealing with now. I say one thing, Rod, going back to that offensive tackle situation, this is a series of just questionable personnel decisions that have come back to bite this franchise. And look, we can pick apart the Cowboys' personnel decisions over the last probably 5 to 7 years on a number of different fronts.
I agree.
But because you have a lot of money and a lot of investments wrapped up in Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch, you've made it clear how important the linebacker position is.
That's true.
And the decline of both of those guys made it – you backed yourself into a corner where you felt like you had to draft Micah Parsons.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it have been nice if the Cowboys weren't in a position where they said, you know, we don't have to worry about linebacker. Let's just take the best player available and take Rashawn Slater.
Yeah. Because they thought they were when they signed two linebackers.
Yeah, because Tyron Smith isn't getting any younger.
You know,
Lyle Collins, between the injuries and now the suspension, how dependable is he?
Yeah.
Kicking Zach Martin out is an option. I would have loved – and when you got down to draft time, I said, look, if Sertan's not there, Patrick Sertan's not there, somebody takes a corner and corner's not an option, man, just take an offensive lineman. Take a legitimate tackle because they've tried to work around the tackle issue with – undrafted free agents like Terrence Steele. Let's draft Connor Williams, but maybe he can be a tackle, but we'll make him an interior guy. We'll try him at different spots, and the same thing with McGovern. No, do what you did with Tyron Smith and just draft a legitimate NFL caliber first division offensive tackle. They couldn't do it, and now you're seeing them pay the price. Oh, and by the way, I don't know if you guys saw the snap counts in that game. They do need Micah Parsons because I think Leighton Vander Esch played fewer than 20 snaps. I think Jalen Smith was in the low teens.
Yeah.
So it's pretty evident who's their
best
linebacker.
Keanu Neal and Micah Parsons are their two linebackers. Yep. No, I agree with everything you said, Jeff. The offensive line is so tough, though, because the Cowboys have invested in the O-line, right?
Yeah.
Actually, as much as a lot of teams
it's repainting the bridge. You've talked about it.
It is repainting the Golden Gate Bridge, like the old Tom Herman quote, right? By the time you get done repainting the Golden Gate Bridge, it's time to restart, start all over again.
And a salary
cap. That's the offensive line. By the time you get done with it, you got to start all over again. And the Cowboys, they basically forgot that.
Yep.
In a salary cap league, that's always going to be the case. And that's where being smart and being ahead of the game and having smart instincts pays off. And, Jeff, they didn't do that. I mean, they've got a Jalen Smith contract. I looked at it. They can get out of it actually relatively easy.
Yeah,
after the season they can, right?
And but I think the writing's on the wall.
It is. I mean, but they're stuck in a spot where they've just made bad investments.
Yeah, and, you know, I go back to that 2016 draft, and as great as that draft was for this franchise, getting – you basically, Rod, you talked about it. They basically found two franchise quarterbacks with penny stocks. Mm-hmm. Dak Prescott as a day three pick, and then Romo was an undrafted free agent. But think about where this franchise would be if your first and second round picks, instead of Zeke Elliott and Jalen Smith, what if your first round picks that year, what if you had taken Jalen Ramsey like they wanted to? Everybody except the guy making the final decision wanted to take him with that fourth pick.
Right.
And you take Derrick Henry in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
How much of a different position would this franchise be?
Tell you
your secondary wouldn't be hot garbage.
Yep.
And you wouldn't have maybe needed to make the high-end investment on the front end that you have in running back.
Yep.
So
totally agree.
I look at things as a Cowboys fan through a critical lens. And, you know, I mean, I know people can say the same things about Texas. I think a lot of people, the Dallas media, the fan base, I think a lot of times you just overrate their personnel.
No, it's a good point.
And when you really start breaking it down, they're personnel deficient in a lot of areas.
Yeah, I think Sark's doing that too. Defensively, though, the Cowboys will be without DeMarcus Lawrence and Randy Gregory. Both Randy Gregory
and Donovan Williams.
And Donovan Williams now is dealing with a groin issue. And DeMonte Kazee has a thigh injury.
Yeah.
So their two starting safeties are also dealing with injuries.
Two starting defensive ends are out.
And Malik Hooker and Jerron Curse may end up being your two starting safeties. Malik Hooker, thank God you signed that guy. Because he could end up helping you out a lot.
He could, yeah. The Achilles brothers. I'll give you a silver lining here, and this is why it's really tough to trust the Chargers 3.5. And I know at the end of the day, as a Cowboys fan, you don't care about the line, but I think this will be a close game. You know, they've got two DBs that are out, and they have been awful at home as a favorite. You can say, well, different era, Justin Herbert, but they've got their own issues.
There will be the Cowboys fans at SoFi on Sunday will outnumber the Chargers fans.
That too.
There will be more Cowboys fans in the building.
It'll be a home game. Or feel like it.
So you got that going for you.
Yeah. Quickly, Chiefs, Ravens, guys. Not a great NFL schedule this weekend. Kansas City favored by 3.5. They're on the road. Baltimore 0-1. Doesn't want to go to that 0-2. Although, as Rod pointed out, with the 17-game schedule, we're not going to get the same stats we get every year. Yeah. If you go 0-2, both your parents are going to die within, 10 minutes. It's like, whoa, that's drastic. Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. Rod, thoughts on this game? I mean, we took the Chiefs straight up. 3.5. Do you think this will be tight?
It could end up being a tight game. I think the Chiefs will win the game. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is 9-0 versus Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, and Big Ben.
Yep.
And he, in the month of September, he's undefeated. He's 11-0 in the month of September. 35 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. The Chiefs.
Yeah.
Who's playing running back for the Ravens this week?
Oh, good question.
By the way, Honey Badger's back. Remember, Honey Badger was out.
You're right. He is back.
And Frank Clark. So they got their two best defensive players back, too. I'll take the Chiefs.
Yeah.
In terms of Chiefs Ravens, who's their running back? Lamar Jackson. That's who the running back is.
I was going to say it.
So we'll see.
See? Oh, someone else said, I told you.
You know it's bad at a position when all the reports are – the Ravens worked out so-and-so at running back today. They're working out so-and-so and so-and-so tomorrow. Like, man, when you're working out running backs in week two, you got problems.
And it's a crazy thing about it. They actually saw this coming. They drafted a ton of running backs and stockpiled running backs.
They were ready for it.
And all of them got hurt. Crazy.
Don't invest.
Everybody said they overinvested in running back. It turns out they didn't invest enough.
Go evaluate Jags on the street.
Crazy.
Because even if you invest, you end up looking at your investment and thinking, oh, that position just gets injured, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Also, the Shanahan system, we've talked about that. McVay system, too. It's kind of nice. You can just fill in Jags. All right, we are at Craft House Kitchen and Tap, Nelson Shopping Center, 242 North LBJ Drive. Kevin Dunn, Rod Babers, Jeff Howe going to be hanging out with us. We appreciate it. And
no
we've got some drink specials, don't we?
Yeah, I've got Altstadt on draft, Altstadt beer here at Craft House Kitchen and Tap. So come on down. We'll be here till 6:30 until we get you back over to the studio to snoop and the flex and getting you ready for all the high school football going on in the area tonight.
We're here. It's high school football tonight, college football tomorrow, and obviously the NFL. We're going to get back to Texas and Rice coming up at 4 o'clock. Want to pick Jeff's brain a little bit and see whatever nuggets he has. But we're going to stay in the NFL. Giants and the Washington football team gave us another treat last night. Are we buying Daniel Jones? Welcome back. It's a Country Music Friday here on RBKD. Hanging out, Craft House Kitchen and Tap, Nelson Shopping Center in San Marcos. Come on out. Come say hi. 242 North LBJ Drive. Cool little spot here. Do you see all the slushies they have? Or are those maybe daiquiris over there?
Slushies.
Yeah. Well, Trevor had said that. Trevor's young.
Slushies.
So I was going with him. I thought they'd gone back to slushies. I know. I'm
frozen
so
drinks. I know.
Yeah, those are obviously daiquiris.
There are daiquiris. All right. I'm sure margaritas, whatever. I'm sure they got some hurricane, whatever you need
they
over there.
They got Bellini, pina colada. Yeah. They got a lot of different
see,
stuff.
They got
high octane margarita.
Got hurricane. Yeah. Nice so, frozen drinks for you, man.
Come on out and come say hi. We'll have to give Jeff.
Grown folks slushies. Adult slushies.
They are. Trevor, Trevor, you said that. So.
It doesn't matter the name.
He goes, hey, Katie,
as long as it goes down smooth.
Yeah, there you go.
Adult slushies. Yes,
adult,
I like that.
Yes, exactly. Adult slushies. We're going to be out until 6:30. We got the flex coming up. Get the Horn app. Make sure you're set for that because you can not only listen to pregame and the game tomorrow and postgame, but also tonight as we got high school games all over Central Texas. We're going to get back to Jeff Howe coming up in about 10 minutes whenever we talk more Texas and Rice. But we have one game in the books. Well, I guess you could count Louisiana and Ohio. You said you were going to watch that a little bit.
I didn't get a chance to watch
you
a lot of
you didn't miss anything.
Yeah.
I watched some of it.
I tried to, but I ended up watching most of the Thursday night football game.
I did too. Yeah. And who would have thought that the Giants and Washington would have given us that good of a game?
Yeah.
You've got, obviously, young talent defensively for the Redskins on the defensive line especially. They actually haven't played that well in two games. And they've not been the dominant force for people that said they're going to give the Cowboys a run for their
D-line,
money.
That D-line, we thought that kind of like the Texas D-line.
Yeah.
In the offseason, we anticipated they would
be
a dominant force.
That.
They have not been that dominant yet. I think they will get there, and I haven't watched enough of them to know exactly what the issue is, but that's why. That defensive line has not been a force of nature as we thought it would be.
Well, the Giants were searching for offensive tackles especially, but offensive linemen in the preseason, and we knew heading into the preseason this summer that their offensive line was not going to be great. Mm-hmm. Saquon Barkley's not back yet, and Troy Aikman talked about it a little bit last night. And we know this, coming off surgeries, ACL surgeries, I mean, complete reconstruction, actually, of the knee. So it's more than that. It takes a year, usually. If you're going to be that fast twitch of a spot and you're going to be that – he was that electric that we noticed a slight difference.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that.
To go with a bad offensive line.
To go with a bad offensive line. And they didn't get – I don't even know how if it got a target for Kadarius Toney.
He was pissed off.
And he was upset about it, too. So they got a lot of offensive issues going on. But I will say that Daniel Jones, he in big games, he has a great stat about Daniel Jones. He's lost now all of his primetime starts in the NFL. That's six of them. No quarterback since 1950 has lost seven of their first seven primetime starts. Something about the bright lights and Daniel Jones that don't go well together.
I thought he actually played well, and maybe that's my expectation of him, but I thought he threw some good balls. He
did. He got that drop at the end.
He should have had. Right. He had a 102 rating. He also led them in rushing. I knew he was athletic. I didn't realize he was that athletic.
Oh, dude. He has three games of 70 rushing yards since the start of 2020 season. That is tied with Cam Newton. Hell, Kyler Murray's got five.
He should have had about 150. He finished with 95, but there was one called back on a receiver on a shoulder tug. It was the right call, but Jones had already broken free. There was no need for it. The Giants left a lot of points on the board. They should have won this thing.
Man, the Giants are now 0-2 for, if you look at the last nine seasons, they've started 0-2 in eight of the last nine seasons. That's brutal.
It's been an S show.
And they're now in sole possession of the most losses in the NFL since the start of the 2017 season.
Yeah.
They've been really bad.
I saw one of those pictures of those guys on the boat with, you know, Odell Beckham, and it said, since this, they've had the worst record in the NFL, and the record was awful.
And think about it. You got the Detroit Lions still in the league, and the Browns had an 0-16 run in there, and you still got the most losses. That is a really inept franchise. So, trust me, I love the Giants and the Meyer family. They drafted me, but...
That's right. You played for them.
Yeah, got to tell the truth. Right now, that is a... Stankola of a franchise.
So on the flip side, the Redskins steal a win. You got an offsides, which was awful, which gave gave their kicker another chance. He ends up hitting it. And Taylor Heinicke, I mean, look, my expectations, the ceiling's higher for Daniel Jones. I think as football fans, we're trying to track him more right now and see, okay, just how good can you be? And my expectations were pretty low. He met those. I think Rod's right. He brings up a point. A lot of that's his team, but he hasn't played well on these big light games. Taylor Heinicke, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick's on the IL. Heinicke, once again, expectations are low, but he's 34 for 46 for 336, two touchdowns, had a 99.6 rating, and made some big throws when he needed to.
Yeah, he did. It was a lot of drama.
And a bad one late.
I was about to say, okay, so to that point, first QB since at least 1978 with a go-ahead passing touchdown and interception and a game-winning drive all in the final 5 minutes of the game.
Wow. Yeah.
It was a lot of drama, and he did all that on three separate drives. So I'm with you. But they love him. The players on that team love him. You can tell the way they, you know, celebrate with him. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, that Ryan Fitzpatrick is the guy. But, man, even in the playoffs, he had another gutsy performance. They lost.
They lost.
But he was a gutsy performance by him. Showed a lot of testicular fortitude.
He was an arena ball.
Man, he's been all over. He was a Texan at one point.
Yeah, he was in school last year at this time.
Dude, Tyler Heineke's been all over the place.
So he's been all over the place, but I will give him some love. And Chase Young, after the game, they interviewed him, and he said, you know what? He said, that's our guy.
Yeah.
But the way he said it wasn't, yo, that's my guy. It was, no,
we follow
that
him.
Is our guy.
That's our leader.
Meaning
we like that guy.
You know, Ron Rivera, this guy should be the starting quarterback. So here's a stat. Most pass yards in first three career starts by undrafted players since 1950. Austin Davis has the most at 937. Heinicke is second with 916, followed by Kurt Warner and Tony Romo.
And what is this?
Most pass yards in his first three career starts for an undrafted player.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty impressive. Well, impressive.
I'm going to run with him even if Fitzpatrick comes back, because that was a question anyway with Fitzpatrick.
The best value in the NFL is an undrafted free agent that can actually make your roster and give you meaningful reps, because they're like penny stocks to you. And the most valuable position in all of football is quarterback. If you get an undrafted free agent to actually be, you know, your backup quarterback or even your starting quarterback like the Cowboys have with Tony Romo, that is an extremely, you know, impressive value to get.
It's RBKD. We're at Craft House Kitchen and Tap, Nelson Shopping Center, 242 North LBJ Drive in San Marcos. We're going to be out here until 6:30, so come by and say hi. We'll be hanging out. We're going to talk some Texas Rice coming up next, including what we're looking for. What does UT have to do? Not just to win, but to really separate. Jeff Howe is going to join us. This is The Horn.